Eat Drink Indiana Radio is brought to you by Eskenazi Health, one of Central Indiana's leading providers of health care. Eat Drink Indiana Radio is powered by EatDrinkIndy.com, where Central Indiana turns to learn about food from farm to fork and drink from grains to glass.
Welcome to Eat Drink Indiana Radio and WFYI HD to the Point. I'm your host, Jolene Ketzenberger. We've got a great lineup of guests this week. We'll hear about the latest venture from one of the city's top chefs as Tony and Rosa Hanslitz talk about their new backroom eatery at Nicole Taylor's Pasta and Market. And on the other end of the culinary spectrum, we'll also talk with Sabrina Richard, an 11-year-old aspiring chef who is currently appearing on the Food Network program Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off. And we'll hear about a very cool festival that focuses on sustainability when we stop by the Urban Farm at the Paramount School of Excellence in Indianapolis. The school's Barb Richardson tells us all about next Saturday's Turn Festival and about the rock star chefs who are putting on a dinner next Friday to kick off the fest. So stay with us for more here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI and WFYI.org. Well, the Indianapolis food and dining scene just continues to expand, with chefs and food artisans opening new restaurants and businesses. And one that I'm really excited about is the new backroom eatery at Nicole Taylor's Pasta and Market. Chef Tony Hanslitz and his wife Rosa operate the market, where they make and sell their terrific pastas, sauces, fresh mozzarella, and lots of other specialty foods. But now they'll have a dining space and a menu of sandwiches, soups, and salads, which is great news for local food fans who followed Chef Tony's career. He was the opening chef in 1985 when Peter's Restaurant opened in Fountain Square, and he and Rosa also had Tavola de Tosa in Broad Ripple. Rosa Hanslitz tells us about what we can expect from the new backroom eatery when it launches later this month, including a couple of those much-missed Tavola dishes. You have the backroom eatery open, right? So tell me about it.
Yes. It's in back of Nicole Taylor's Pasta and Market. And what it is, it's basically a room that you can go in there and have a light lunch. We'll be serving soups and salads and sandwiches and pasta dishes throughout the day, 11 till 6 right now. So you can either dine in or carry out.
Gosh, now are you so excited? Because, you know, you've had the market now for how long?
It's been a little bit over 6 years.
And you've done the weekend special dinners, which are still booked up, right?
Yes, we still do the private dinners in the kitchen, and those are booked for 2 years out. So, yes, we still are doing those.
Oh, that, I just think that's terrific. So, people, you know, you've got dinners on the books for the next 2 years there, and still you open a restaurant, right? So it's now a restaurant.
It sort of is a restaurant, so I kind of think we're a little crazy. No, but it's fun. We're looking forward to it. It's nice to be back into the swing of things, and we've had a lot of people come in and ask us if we have meals to go, or do we have sandwiches, because I've got these wonderful Italian meats and cheeses, and can we make a sandwich for them, and also our pasta. Everybody just loves our pasta, and so we decided, why not? Let's do it. Let's see what happens. So, yes, we are crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think people will be so excited. Now, tell me about some of the dishes that they might remember from back in the day.
Well, we are going to bring back some pasta dishes from Tavola de Tosa, and we have two of them that were on our menu from the moment we opened until we closed. One of them is our lobster rags, which just pieces of pasta, you know, they're just different size pieces of pasta that has lobster and sun-dried tomatoes and regular tomatoes and capers and a lobster, of course, and it's a yummy, yummy a dish. And then the other one is our walnut and gorgonzola tagliatelle.
Oh my gosh, that sounds wonderful too.
Yes, and it is. It's so good. The difference is that all of our pastas here at Nicole Taylor's are eggless, and for that dish we are making egg pasta, so it's going to be extra special, and all the eggs that we are using are local eggs, so we're excited about that.
You, speaking of local, you guys have been longtime mainstays at the farmers markets. But this is your first year not at the markets, right? So people, if they have missed you there, then they can come get what they need here, right?
That's correct. Yes, I mean we've been doing farmers markets for over 8 years, and this year we decided that it was time to graduate, and so we decided that we weren't going to do farmers markets, so we could focus a little more here at the shop, and plus we have so much more to offer here at the shop. At the farmers markets, the only thing we really took there were our pastas and our sauces and fresh mozzarella, and there's just so much more here at the shop. So I really would love it if people could stop by and see everything that we offer.
Oh, and I'm sure they will. So now, tell me what the timeline was with this. How you've been working on this for a while, I think, right?
Oh, yes. This project started back in March, and we had a couple hiccups with permits, you know, building permits. And then so that took a little while, and then construction started. And, of course, you know how construction is, so that took a little bit longer than usual. And so we did open this past Tuesday was our first day that we opened, and so we opened with just a limited menu. We're just serving salads and sandwiches right now, and so then, of course, the timing wasn't the best either, because now we're going to be leaving on vacation for 2 weeks because our daughter is getting married in North Carolina.
Well, congratulations on that. So that's all right, though. So you'll have a little bit of a downtime, right? So we closed for a little while, but then you'll come back full force. Now, what day is that?
Exactly. We're going to open on September 22nd with the full menu. We'll have soup, salad, sandwiches, and pasta dishes, and then we'll be on our way.
And so then the hours for that are going to, is it lunch and afternoon?
Well, actually, the hours right now are 11 till 6, Tuesday through Friday, and then on Saturday, 11 till 4 is when we're going to be serving food.
Mm-hmm. Because, of course, those dinners, right?
It's because of the dinners, exactly. So, yes.
Now, tell me, you have a window now in the backroom eatery where people can look in and watch the pasta being made?
Yes, one of our biggest requests from our customers was that they wanted to see our guys make pasta. And so what we did was we decided to put in a production kitchen in the back. It's actually on the side off of the dining room, and there's a big window where you can watch them make pasta during the day.
Now, how much pasta are they making?
Oh, we average anywhere between 800 and 900 pounds of pasta a week.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of pasta.
That's a lot of pasta. Yes, it's a lot of pasta. So, but that's what we average usually on a normal week. So, yeah, we have about 21 wholesale accounts and all the pasta that we sell here at the store. And now, of course, we've added some more pasta for the menu.
We've been talking with Rosa Hanslitz of Nicole Taylor's Pasta and Market and Backroom Eatery. But I also wanted to hear from Chef Tony, one of Indy's top chefs, who also teaches at the Chef's Academy. The chef is booked solid through 2016 for his super popular Friday and Saturday night dinners. But with the opening of the backroom eatery, he is venturing closer back to the restaurant business. I talked with Tony recently about the new venture, the local food scene, and how his simple, fresh Italian fare fits in today. Chef, you are back at it. I mean, for real. I mean, this is really real, right?
Yeah, when you said restaurant, it kind of made me cringe. So I don't know if I like that R word or not. So, it's kind of a restaurant is not a restaurant because you order at the counter and then we'll bring you the food. So it's kind of a Panera system without yelling your name.
Well, that's nice. All yes. Right. But still, people can come in and they can order your food, which I think is huge.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I've been working hard at it, so hopefully people will enjoy what we do. I'm just really excited about it.
Well, now, tell me how it all happened, because, you know, you closed the restaurant, you were in academia, and then, you know, and of course the farmers market and the carryout market. How did this all, what was the progression for you as a chef?
Well, I mean, we're still in academia, so I'm not leaving the school at all to do this, only in the evening. So I'm teaching the day, and I'll, cape up and do this in the evening. So I think, It was just a natural progression for what we're doing here. We had 1,000 square feet. She wanted a production room, which didn't take up 1,000 square feet, and we had to do something with it. It's been about 20 different things before it was this mentally. I have drawings to prove it. I mean, at one point, I was really excited we were going to do whole animal butchery and open a butchery shop. And I don't know, that just kind of fell by the wayside, and this is what I do. So it's just really natural. It's just natural.
So tell, by some way people aren't familiar with your food, because you have been, you know, on the Indianapolis scene since 1985, right?
Yep.
So how do you describe your food, you know, to somebody, just in case they've been under a rock all this time?
Simple, 4 or 5 ingredients, more natural, more with nature, really trying to cook things at its peak flavor, peak season, and just really Italian. You know, I mean, it is what we do. I mean, we are a pasta shop, so really just trying to stay in that focus. But true traditional Italian, we're not going to Americanize anything. So if we have a meatball, it'll be on the side. It won't be on top of spaghetti, I promise. So just really just classic Italian dishes. I would like to kind of play around trying to modernize a few of the dishes, but I also have respect for tradition. So I want to be really careful about taking liberties on something that's centuries old. I am a Hoosier, not, so I do need to respect the tradition.
What do you think of what's happening locally on the food scene? Has any of the changes that we've seen, you know, growing interest in local food, you know, maybe some more interest in small independent restaurants, has that influenced your decision to kind of take on this again?
I almost wonder if it's done almost the opposite. I mean, only because, you know, there are a bunch of young men and women chefing out there that are, or young. And, you know, actually, as we do these dinners, I started to question, Rose and I had conversations about my style of food and am I doing the right thing? And, you know, I only have 4 or 5 ingredients. It's not an encyclopedia for a dish. And I guess I just came to it, that's who I am. And I can't change and I don't really want to. And I think, you know, that's just how we cook, and that's how we eat, and that's how we live, and then we're just going to stay with what we do. I only got about 10 more years left before I get to retire, so I can't recreate myself. I can't recreate 44 years in 10 years. So,
well, I don't think you need to do that, because I think that your food is has been consistently popular. I mean, after all, you are booked up for 2 years, you know, for your weekend dinner, so there's that, you know.
Yeah, yes, but I mean, out of respect for what other people are doing, I still want to be relevant, I think. Maybe that's what I was questioning. Am I still relevant with what's going on in food today? But fortunately, there's people that are old like me that still like to have, you know, that like simple, it's just simple, fresh. You can taste everything. It's not muddied up. And not that these other, the food is, it's just the way I cook. I just don't know anything else. We went to Tinker Street 2 weeks ago, and, you know, some of the stuff this guy's doing over there just blew my mind, and in a great way. And I'm just like, how do you think of, he did a dessert with vegetable ash it was a s'mores, kind of a play on a s'mores dessert. And I'm like, how do you think about ashing your vegetable scraps and putting them on a plate? I just was like, you know, wow. And it was great, and it's so impressive, but I just don't think like that. I just don't. I mean, I'm more wanting to make sure my tomatoes are right, and you know that I don't have to, don't burn my garlic, and you know, so that's just me.
Are there some changes that you can point to that you have seen, you know, since, oh, say 1985, and now, you know, have diners changed? Has Indianapolis changed? Have you changed?
I've changed, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I remember when we first started at Peter's, you know, we laid food out, and I remember cutting triangles off the top of snow peas and, you know, fanning them out. And, you know, they went through my Tinker Toy food phase where, you know, we built it as high as you could climb, and nobody could ever carry it out to the dining room because it was going to fall over. And then to really simple, good technique. I think that's probably one of the most important things. And that may be my, you know, education background is, you know, solid techniques and solid products. I think that the diners are far more educated than they were in 1985. So they demand more, and as they should. Not that they didn't then. It's just a kind. There's just more people that are much more knowledgeable. More farmers markets. I mean, I don't even. The only thing in '85 probably was the city market. So yeah. So I mean, now you know there's and you know the foraging. I just saw something. I read an article yesterday that there's a school that's opening up to teach people how to forage. So you know. Yeah, it's changed. I mean, but the people have changed. And so we have to change with it in some ways. And for me, the change is making sure I know where my products are coming from. And those are much more available. We're going to a farm. All the chefs and instructors, we're going to a farm Friday, I think. It's this Friday. We're going to a farm, which, you know, who would ever thought of that we'd take all the culinary instructors to a farm?
Yeah. So the changes are all good, mostly good?
No, I think they're all good. Change is good. It's not a bad thing. Yeah, it's good. I mean, you know, we are still have a lot of chain restaurants, and I've always felt that just because you're an independent doesn't give you a pass. You still have to be quality, have quality service, quality food, and you just can't hang your hat on the eye of independency. You still have to perform. And now there's so many good restaurants, it takes it to another level because I've always said, like going to Chicago, why would I want to be a small fish in a big pond? I'd rather be a big fish in a small pond that I can stay wet and I'll stay alive. I don't want to go into a shark tank. But not that this is becoming a shark tank, but, you know, there's a lot of choices now, a lot of great choices. It's fun for us because we're empty nesters, so we get to go out and eat more. So, you know, as a consumer now also, it's just great. And I get to learn, like ashes on your plate. I mean, just like, I did that, but it's because I burnt something.
We've been talking with Chef Tony Hanslitz of the new Backroom Eatery at Nicole Taylor's Pasta and Market at 1134 East 54th Street. For more information, go to NicoleTaylorsPasta.com or look for them on Facebook. Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio is made possible with support from Eskenazi Health, providing care to nearly 1 million outpatient visitors each year with the mission to advocate, care, teach, and serve at its hospital and inpatient facility and 11 community health centers located throughout Indianapolis. EskenaziHealth.edu. You're listening to Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio, and we're talking with Indianapolis 6th grader Sabrina Richard, who says she's always known she'd be on the Food Network. The 11-year-old has auditioned for several shows, but when she heard about Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off, she knew she had to try out. And she made it. I talked with Sabrina recently about what it took to make it to the Food Network and become a chef testant on Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off. First of all, tell me just a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Sabrina, and I'm in sixth grade. I'm 11 years old. I love cooking, and I love everything about Julia Child and her cookbook. And I love to read, and I like writing, and I am a Girl Scout, and I love horses.
Well, all right. But now, how did you, you know, obviously, you know, you like cooking, and it's, you know, not surprising these days, you know, for kids growing up on the Food Network to kind of be into that. But how did you get into the idea of competing and actually being on a show?
So when I started cooking, I watched the movie Julie and Julia about Julie Powell and writing the blog about going through Julia Child's cookbook. And Julia was like 37 when she started cooking, and that's like really old. So it kind of inspired me, and I was like, if she can do it at that age, I'm sure I can do it at this age. And the first time I watched that movie, I was about six, and I was still making frozen everything and popcorn in the microwave. But it really inspired me, and so I kind of started collecting my mom's menu cards, and she would show me how I would make the dishes or different ingredients. So I was really open to different ingredients and experiences.
Now, so your mom has been in the food business, so did that that help? And you probably grew up in it.
My mom's in the event planning business, and she always gets the leftover menu cards. I like to look at them, look through them, and say, oh, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. And so I like to absorb things like a sponge.
So when the idea, well, how did you find out about the possibility of being on Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off?
So 2 years ago, the Rachel versus Guy, way back when, started, and I said, I'm going to be on the Food Network one day. I just, like, knew it. I was determined to go on. And I tried out for a couple different shows, like MasterChef Junior, and some things that were just one episodes. But my heart was just set on the Rachel versus Guy Kids Cook-Off. So when an audition came around, I sent a video to them, and I said, I really want to be with this. And I told them my story about how when I was 7, I said, I'm going to be on that show. And they changed it to the Rachel Ray Kids Cook-Off show. And it was just really exciting because she's like the team I would root for. It's like, go Rachel.
So you weren't rooting for guys' teams on that?
Sorry, guy.
So you went and auditioned, right? How did that go? Is it hard? Is it challenging? Is it scary?
So I made a video of me cooking and me kind of answering some obvious questions like my age and what I like to do. And, of course, I mentioned a couple Julias in there. And it was really fun, and I just had a blast. But over the next couple days, I was like, oh, my gosh, did they accept it? Did they not? And then I got a call back, and then we did a Skype interview.
Oh, no, that's kind of neat. Was that a little intimidating?
It was a little intimidating because I'd never seen, like, one of their faces, but it was really fun, and we just sat down from the computer, and we just talked away.
Okay, well, that's kind of neat. What sort of things did they want to know just about you?
They wanted to know if I was comfortable working with different ingredients, and I'm pretty comfortable. I've never cooked with that kind of duck, and I did today. It actually was pretty good.
So you feel like you made a good impression, obviously, you know, during the Skype interview. What's the next step in the process?
So the next step was we did a couple phone call interviews, and then we did two more Skype interviews. One was just answering more questions about the producers, and also I did a cooking one where I made my crusted lamb chop with duck bacon, and it really hit off, and then I started making the recipes.
So you cooked on for during a Skype interview? So you were cooking there in front of the computer?
Yes, I was cooking in front of the computer, and it was set up on our table, just propped up because we couldn't move Mom's PC in here. So we had to download it onto the laptop, get it straight so that they could see my cooking and my kitchen and my books, and that was the most exciting one.
Was a little nerve-wracking having someone, you know, I know I just watched you cook, but was it nerve-wracking having someone on the other end of a computer and TV producers watching it?
It's not as hard as the cameras, but it was actually really fun, and after a while I kind of melted from my shyness, and I just, like, totally dove into it head first, and they really liked it.
Okay, so you had the good cooking Skype interview, and then what came next?
So next they said they sent me a phone call, an email saying, well, they sent my mom a phone call or email saying, we would like to schedule another Skype call with you. And so they called us, and we were like, oh, we've never gotten this number before. And it was them, and they had to cancel, but they didn't want to cancel for the wrong reason. So they talked to me, and they said, how would you feel about being on the Rachel Ray Kids Cook-Off? And I said, it would be really exciting. They said, well, you're on, and I might have dropped the phone.
Wow! So did you yell or cry or did your mom cry?
We were both crying, and she said, I admit, I've never seen a person like younger person happy tears. I said, well, I'm not like most people. I have a very refined palate. I said that in first grade.
Oh my gosh. So now what time frame was that? When did you find out that you were actually going to be on the show?
That was around June. So they gave us about a month. That was around June 16th, June 11th. And that night I said, if I'm on a TV show, I'm going to bake lobster. So I made my very first lobster. And
So did you do like Julia? Did you kill the live lobster?
No, I just put them in head first. I did more like Julie.
Man up, kill the lobster, right?
So I did more like Julie and just put it head first. Say, I'm sorry. That's right. Goodbye.
Did they stay in the pot, or did they kind of, you know, throw the lid off the pot like happened to poor Julie?
Luckily, mine stayed in the pot, and I closed the lid really quickly, and they were just amazing. It's my first lobster I ever had besides a lobster roll, but
So that went well. So you started cooking. So you've been cooking all summer leading up to it, right?
Oh, yes. Many thousands of dollars in grocery bills. Sorry, Mom. Your paycheck will not lead up to that. And just practicing and cooking and making recipes and writing down recipes and changing recipes and taste testers and lots of butter.
So were you trying to get ready for whatever they might throw at you, or were you trying to like get some go-to recipes, or what?
I was trying. They gave us a list. We had to do like 4 desserts, 4 sandwiches, and we just had to do about 3 to 4 of each item, and they sent us the book. And I was also practicing techniques and working with different cheeses and just... My parents would sometimes make me a little bit of a mystery basket, and they would give me, like, chicken, wine, and strawberries, and then I would have to cook with that ingredient for dinner that night, and they would set timers, and then when we had to do very, very specific recipes, like the hot dog recipe for this recent episode, that we had to try about 5 different recipes for a hot dog until we finally found the walking taco dog.
We've been talking with 11-year-old Sabrina Richard of Indianapolis about appearing on Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off. Stay with us for more from Sabrina here on WFYI and WFYI.org. What's it like for a kid contestant on a Food Network cooking show? Well, that's what I wanted to find out when I sat down recently with 11-year-old Sabrina Richard. The Indianapolis 6th grader is appearing on Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off. And even though she can't spill the beans about what happens on the show, she told us a little bit about getting there and what it was like and her fondness for Julia Child and classic French cooking.
So the show started on July 20th, and I flew in my very first plane, and... It's actually not that bad, but it wasn't how I expected, and it's not like those commercials with the first with the first class, and I'm lying back.
It's not nearly as luxurious as you want it to be, is it?
But I was glad I got the plane ticket.
So late July, right? Mm-hmm. So late July, you headed out. What was it like when you got there?
Not how I expected. I watched the show Saving Mr. Banks and how he held the sign for P.L. Travers. And so I was kind of expecting that, but at the same time I wasn't. So it was kind of just weird to see someone outside with my name on it and then having my luggage. And it was really exciting.
Wow, that's kind of cool. So kind of getting the star treatment.
Yes, celebrity.
Okay, so you got there. Now where did you tape?
We taped in the Chelsea Market, but more Times Square area, and it was about 3 blocks from our hotel, and the hotel was very hospitable. They were just very kind, and they were just really great to us.
So what was it like with the other contestants? Is it like the first day of school? Is it like summer camp? You know, what was it like meeting everybody?
They kind of didn't let us meet everyone at first. And so, like, first day at set, they're like, go, 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 go. They, like, rushed kids in. And we literally, when we were meeting each other, we'd only said hi and introduced ourselves. And then over the time, By the first episode, we knew what we liked to make, what we didn't like to make, other shows we tried out for, and just everything about them. And so we became really close friends, and me and all the other contestants often email and are talking about me going down to California with Scarlett, or me going down to Georgia to go to Food and Wine with her, with Juliana, and we've just kind of all, like, exchanged everything, and we are just really great friends.
Now, that's kind of nice, you know, because you see some of the, you know, the competition shows, and it seems a little cutthroat, you know, but was it tough with them? You know, were you really, you know, trying to beat them? Is it friendly competition or cutthroat competition?
Some rounds we would become frenemies, like when I stole the potatoes from poor Chris, but he did win. But we're on the edge of frenemies, but most of the time we're more friends, and so we just are just super happy for each other when we win, and we kind of throw a party for the person that loses, but we still have so much fun with everyone, and it is really great.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you ever, well, you kind of expected this to happen, though. You kind of been planning on this, so this wasn't exactly what you'd call a surprise, right?
I was actually kind of shocked when I got the phone call so early, but I wasn't surprised. I knew that one day, I don't care if I was 80 years old and I was and I was the next French chef, as Julia was, but it was still really cool.
So now tell me a little bit about your interest in French cooking and, you know, and why. Why French?
So Julia, of course, inspired the French food, but I've always just loved the simple elegance of French food and all that butter. Oh.
Now what about desserts? Are you more of a savory chef or are you more a dessert chef?
I do macarons, and I haven't quite mastered them yet, but I have a recipe for macarons, and I have some more simpler dessert menus, but I would say I'm more of a chef than a baker.
You mentioned the lamb dish that you like to make, and of course, you know, you did our Cook This challenge and did the duck. So are there favorite dishes you like, favorite foods, that sort of thing that people, you know, could expect to see you come up with?
Before I got into French cooking about a year ago, I have a bourbon glazed pork chop, and everyone was just shocked, like, bourbon for an 11-year-old? And I love using alcohol, though I can't taste it, so, Dad, could you taste this for me? And he would make sure that it would go well with the dish, and he has to try the dish before I add the wine to it, just to make sure that the wine will really hit off with the bourbon or whatever alcohol I'm using will really hit off with all the flavors.
So, you know, a lot of kids your age, and you ask them their favorite dish, and they're going to say, you know, pizza or cheeseburgers or lasagna or something like that. Do you have a favorite dish overall?
My favorite dish is beef bourguignon, but not just anyone's beef bourguignon. Julia Child, beef bourguignon.
Well, I'm with you on that. I cooked that last weekend, and it's a wonderful thing to make, and it just turns out so beautiful, you know, and satisfying and delicious and wonderful, and people love it, and it's really not all that hard.
Now, I'll admit, the one I made was frozen, guilty, but I don't have 6 hours. I mean, I have school, and I have to practice cooking, so sometimes I might whip out a couple frozen beef bourguignons.
Do you have career ideas already? I mean, I know it's a long way till college, but are you thinking ahead?
I'm very torn with myself. It's like one part of me wants to be a chef, one wants to be kind of a horse trainer, and one wants to be about a million other things. I'm like a very shredded piece of paper.
But that's okay, because right now I'm sure you're having fun with it and enjoying the right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm more of a present, though I like to plan a week ahead, but I'm more of in the present kind of girl, and I'm very laid back, but at the same time, I'm very uptight, as my friends would call me.
Now, what can people expect? You know, if they continue to tune in, are there some things we could look for? I mean, like I said, I know you can't divulge any details, but are there things we can look for, or, you know, things that you want people to be sure to notice or to tune in for?
I hope they tune in for the next episode. I hope that they are, that Indiana is very proud of me because I am one of the two girl chefs to be on a Food Network. The last one was last season of the Food Network Star, and she got into the finale, and I can't say where I'm going yet, but you're going to have to tune in to watch.
We've been talking with Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off contestant, Sabrina Richard. The show airs Mondays at 7 p.m. on the Food Network. You can tune in to see how Sabrina fares in the competition, and you can follow her on Twitter at CookWithSabrina or look for her page on Facebook. Well, we are definitely getting into fall festival season, and there is one coming up in Indianapolis on September the 12th that is definitely worth checking out. Turn Festival at the Paramount School for Excellence in Indianapolis celebrates urban sustainability and takes place on the school's farm. Yes, there's actually a farm on the grounds of this very urban school, a farm where students tend the gardens, feed the chickens, milk the goats, and make goat cheese. I talked with Barb Richardson, Director of Advancement at Paramount School, about the farm, the festival, and about the lineup of some of Indy's top chefs who will be putting on a dinner next Friday to kick off the fest. And Slow Food Indy's Rob Gaston tells us how that local group is helping out as well. Just briefly, for people who might not be aware of the school and where it is and all the things that you're doing here, please tell me just a little bit about the school and its mission.
Paramount School, we're in our sixth school year, and part of the mission is not only to inspire learning through unparalleled academics, but it really is to transform the community. And that has, that those roots have been there from the very beginning. And so how we let people know that the school was coming was our executive director, Tommy Reddicks, and our business manager really went door to door to let people know. And that commitment remains today. Today, interesting, is a Brookside Association meeting, and there is a representative there every meeting from Paramount School, most of the time Tommy Reddicks and other staff members.
So you've really become a part of the neighborhood in that time.
Right, and that's a very important part. Every time that we do something within the school, we try to mirror that of really a gift to the community. We're here to talk about Turn Festival, but we have done a festival, a community festival every May called Brookside Bash, and we do things like we're building a lot-size hoop greenhouse, and that hoop greenhouse will be available not only for us to lengthen our growing season, but to provide a place for people to grow things during our winter from the community. So our vision is that people will come, check out the key, they can start seedlings, they can grow winter crops throughout and crops throughout the year.
So Turn Festival, tell me a little bit about that and how its sustainable food sort of focus fits in with the school.
Right. We were looking, we originally thought we would expand Brookside Bash. And with the farm, really the time to be on the grounds, we have a summer program called Success Through Education, Agriculture, and Mentoring. And they really work for 8 weeks during the summer. So the best time to be out on the farm is fall. A lot of harvest things. But we wanted it to tie very authentically with what we do. And we looked for what we thought we could grow into a signature event. Community Health Network, we're part of the Eastside Redevelopment Committee, was one of our first and major supporters of this event, and it really ties in with really our goals for the neighborhood and using it to be a transformative force. TURN stands for Transforming Urban Neighborhoods, and it's focused on urban sustainability, so farm, food, health, and environment.
Now, when you talk about this is a good time to be on the farm, you're talking about the farm at the school, right? We're in a farm area. It's terrific.
Right. It keeps growing. We've added goats this year, and we will be producing a very high French Val cheese with the milk that we have from the goats. But we're very fortunate at Paramount to have to be on a 5.5 acre site. And so we have a 1,000 square foot garden. We have a cistern system of 2,200 gallons that we have an outdoor classroom that the water is collected from the sloped roof. We have a shipping container barn. We have 26 chickens and 4 beehives.
This is wonderful. So you are an urban farm right here in and around the school.
Yes, yes. And it's an important part of our curriculum. We say really people aren't out here for fluff and fun, that all this ties in with Indiana state standards. We have a team of environmental education team of 3.5 staff members. So they not only help to manage the farm, because it does take some management, and they are a very important part of our summer program, but also that how it's integrated with the curriculum itself. For example, second graders work with hatching chickens, and a lot of those chickens are part of our 26 chicken flock now. So,
and the children milk the goats, for example, right?
Yes, they do. We actually have a 4-H chapter now, and the students are part of that. They come before school, so it's an early morning task. They're here at 7 a.m. They have assigned days. A lot of times they'll come on days that they're not assigned, because they're just very excited about being able to do that.
Now, tell me how all of the activities here that take place on the farm, how they're going to be sort of showcased in the festival.
Well, our own students will be here in each of those areas, so they'll be here to talk about their experience with the goats and the chickens. And this summer, we also rescued 4 swarms of bees. And the students are the ones that have that skill, that have learned that skill and are able to do that. On Turn Festival, there's a lot of activities. There's over 50 activities going on. We have a learning area that is focused on farm, food, health, and environment. So each from 9 to 6, there will be workshops from experts in our community. We have 50 activities, so that means we have 50 organizations that are represented as partners to help us put this on. And then we have pop-ups. So Mighty Lotus, which is a yoga group that works in the schools, they will be having a yoga station all day long. Indigo Bus will be here with their electric bus. Disc Golf, the National Disc Golf Association, Brookside Park, which were on the grounds of Brookside and Paramount School, will be doing clinics in disc golf, because Brookside has one of the best disc golf courses. So there's all those different activities, as well as music. We have 2 stages. We have a stage that Square Cat Records is supporting on the Paramount side, and on the Brookside main stage, we have Ultraviolet Blues Band, Bigfoot Yancey, and the Bone Setters.
So you have a lot going on, but there's also food, and there's a chef type of dinner that's happening as part of the festival too. Is that right?
Right. We're very excited that part of our planning committee, we brought in people that are really in this urban sustainability arena, and one of those was Slow Food Indy. So we've partnered to have a very high-end farm-to-table dinner on Friday night. It's limited to 100 people. We really wanted a chance to interact with the chefs, and we have a wonderful lineup with chefs Jonathan Brooks, Alan Sternberg, Chris from Love Handle that just opened, Neil Brown, and Cindy Hawkins rounds that off from Circle City Suites with the dessert.
So that is a stellar lineup of local chefs, honestly.
Yes, we're very, very pleased to be partnering with those chefs, and for them to volunteer, obviously, their time, but also their talents too.
Now, Slow Food Indy is also working with the Turn Festival, and board member Rob Gaston tells us why.
Slow Food Indy was such a good partner for this, because we're really all about, the values of good, clean, and fair are talked about all the time, but on a more basic level, I think if we're not teaching our kids how to eat more real food, that we're missing the mark. That's really where we have the greatest opportunity to make impact and to improve the food system is by reaching our kids. So I just saw this as a great opportunity.
So now, how is Slo Food involved?
So Slo Food's primary involvement is the Turn Feast, correct? And the Turn Feast is the Friday night sort of kickoff and fundraising dinner. And as you've gone over, there's some, I think, really great, great restaurants involved.
It's an all-star lineup. Yeah. It really is.
So couldn't have asked for better. And everyone agreed. No one said no. No one even thought about it. They all just, you know, came to the table and said, definitely, we're on. So that's primarily the partnership. Is Slo Food Indy has helped bring the chefs and sort of the food knowledge and the ability to do an outdoor dinner in what can be challenging conditions for chefs.
Now you know all about that because of course you know Dig In. We just had that very recently, a huge festival, lots of chefs, outdoor, hot weather. So you kind of got you know what you're doing when it comes to that, right?
Well. When we were talking internally about doing this dinner and some of the other board members who are also chefs made comments about, well, this is going to be too hard. An outdoor dinner is too challenging. And I said, look, guys, I see 40 chefs do it in the middle of a state park with hardly any power or anything. And it's for 4,000 people. I think we can get them to do a dinner for 100.
Now, where will the dinner take place?
The dinner will take place on the Paramount School Farm. We have a wonderful big kind of circus tent that the dinner will be set up for the dinner on Friday night.
Well, now that's very fun. So this is a big deal, this festival. And because it's showcasing what you're doing here, you know, it's an even bigger deal, right?
It is. We're really pleased. Again, the other thing that I did not mention, and he'll be our visitor to the dinner, is Dr. Drew Ramsey. He is the author of The Happiness Diet and 50 Shades of Kale, and has worked a lot in food in talking about how food affects not only our physical well-being, but our mental well-being. He is a psychologist from Columbia. He happened to have gone to IU Medical School, and he really focuses on how it really affects our total well-being. And he will be our guest at the Friday Turn Festival Feast, and he kicks off the day on Saturday with how the food we eat affects our brain at 9 a.m., and that is open to everyone. So if you want to find out more about how food affects our well-being, that will be at 9 o'clock.
Now, talk just a little bit about the reaction of the children to an event like this and the development of the farm that they can see every day.
Each and every day, our students become more involved. I talked about how they're here at 7 a.m., and that's 7 a.m. when it's 30 degrees as well as when it's 90 degrees, so they're very dedicated. Our chickens free range during the day, and then they're herded into the chicken coop at night. We have a chicken coop blog that is part of our language arts that people write story. We have ghost writers for the chickens, so it really is incorporated throughout our total program.
Did the kids like it? I mean, it seems like, you know, thinking of, you know, trying to channel my inner 10-year-old, you know, it seems like it would just be the coolest thing to go to school and to have your school have a farm and be right here in the middle of the city.
It is. And a good example is Department of Education came out and filmed for the farm to school, and it's on the website if anybody wants to check it out. And it was interesting when they interviewed students, asking them if they, you know, how they felt about being here and being able to work on the farm. And they expressed how very excited they are. And when asked what was their favorite thing, we had a team that was working on invasive plants at Brookside Park, across our adjacent park, along Pogue's Run. And she actually said, oh, the invasive plant team. And we said, why, you know? I don't know. And it's a hot and dirty and sweaty and very hard work. And she said, it made me feel strong. And that was Raina, who happens to be on this week's issue of Nouveau. And she's been a student that has worked in the summer program for three summers. She's an eighth grader this year. And that is the fact that she returned every summer in our 90-degree Indiana heat, I think, is a testament to how well-received it is, the program. That same summer program, we have a waiting list and really a tryout for those 30 slots that we have during the summer.
Wow. Now tell me a little bit about how people can get more information about the school, about Turn Festival, the dinner, all of that.
Okay. Well, the dinner and Turn Festival is easy. It's turnfestival.com, and you'll find all the information on there. And look on it every day going up to Saturday, because new things have been added each day. But you can find out the schedule of the workshops. You can find out the schedule of what we call the pop-ups. That's things like the yoga station. And then you can also find out about Turn Festival Feast. There's a tab there. It'll take you right into the reservations. Like I said, it's limited to 100 people, and we're getting close to that top. So I encourage people to register right away, because once we reach 100, that opportunity will be gone.
And so for some more information about the school, where can we look for that?
We also have a website. It's paramountindy.org.
We've been talking with Barb Richardson of the Paramount School for Excellence about the school's upcoming Turn Festival. For more information on the free fest or to buy tickets for the Turn Festival Feast, go to turnfestival.com. You've been listening to Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio on WFYI HD2 The Point. I'm your host, Jolene Ketzenberger. Thank you so much for tuning in this week, and thanks also to our guests, Tony and Rosa Hanslitz of the Backroom Eatery and Nicole Taylor's Pasta and Market, Sabrina Richard of Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off, and Barb Richardson of the Paramount School of Excellence and its upcoming Turn Festival. And thanks also to producer John Ketzenberger for helping to bring you Eat, Drink, Indiana Radio.